This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Feige, let's hit him big time.
Taco Tuesday!
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, there's all kinds of drama in life. There's high school drama.
Oh.
There's baby mama drama.
Uh-oh.
There's office drama. There's political drama. There's all kinds of drama. Well, because everyone's out with the COVID. So we got the whole place to ourselves. So we're good on that. But there's all types of drama. And I think when it comes to drama, when it comes to the NFL, the two teams that had the most dramatic off seasons for different reasons are going to be on the field on Sunday. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on a Tuesday. Please don't let LeBron James do that again. I'm not even Hispanic, and I'm offended by that.
I am every week.
The Green Bay Packers made a controversial decision. Mm-hmm. They decided to draft a quarterback in the first round. Aaron Rodgers was not happy, but so far so good. I know they're coming off a loss, but we're talking about a 4-1 team.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Texans, they decided to make a couple trades, couple of moves, and they're 1-5. Those two teams collide on Sunday, and the two most dramatic off seasons will play out on Sunday. And I think it is. I'm going to get you to say it, John.
What's that?
It's a must win for the Texans.
That ship has sailed.
No. If they win
that
this game.
That ship has sailed.
If they win this game. I said they just had to win 3 out of 4 in the second quarter. If they win this game,
what are the playoff hopes here?
Are alive. Just say must win for me.
No.
Playoffs?
Just say. Must win for me.
No, I refuse to say that. What got into you today? You're talking playoffs?
I said if they win 3 out of 4, they're fine. They steal this game against Green Bay, they're still alive.
What's the matter with you?
I'm telling you, they're still alive.
What's going on here?
3-5 the first half. You can get in 8-8, 9-7. You saw this team against Tennessee. That team can compete with anybody remaining on their schedule except maybe the team they play Sunday. If they can steal that game, then hope is alive. Keep hope alive.
Are you doing lines?
I'm being serious. Keep hope
alive.
I know
you're being serious.
Who was on crack?
They steal this game, 2020 is not over.
Well,
come on, man. Come on, man.
It is not over.
Come on, man.
You're crazy.
I'm being serious.
You're a crazy fool.
I'm being 100% serious.
Look, man, it's not only – look, I'd love to co-sign. I'd love to tell you.
You don't think they're going to win. So that's the thing. You don't think they have a chance to beat Green Bay.
No, I don't. But even if I did, it's not just that the Texans would be just 2-5, which, by the way, someone in this room said they would start the year 1-6 or 2-5. I wonder who that was. It's not just that. It's that there's so many things that they have to overcome in the standings.
I get that, but a lot of the teams in front of them, they're actually going to play.
They have to overcome two teams, and they're tied with the third in their own division, much less in the AFC.
The Titans are running away, so don't even look at the Titans.
Right.
You got to lower the bar, and you got to look at that extra playoff spot.
The Patriots are 2-3,
nine and seven.
And they're in a better position.
9-7 is the goal. And look, They're gonna have to get finish really, really strong. But if you steal this game against Green Bay, it's not too far fetched to think this team can get up to the 8-8
I'm with
range.
You in spirit, but I think it's a pipe dream. I really do. Especially when you consider they're not in a position to make any bold moves. They have Jack Easterby.
Well, they've made enough bold moves. I don't want Jack Easterby doing anything.
Well, exactly.
I don't even want him to have cell phone service, honestly. No cell phone service. He can use a landline or something like that. I don't want Easterby. We're going to get into that in a sec. You put a column on Sports Radio 610 that we need to talk about at 10:15 because the OG is calling for action. He is calling for action.
I want action.
He's trying to tell a billionaire what to do.
Why not? He's not my first.
It's worked before.
He's not my first billionaire I've talked to.
It's worked before. but that's what you're calling for. The concern I have, though, and we'll get into the Easterby a little bit more, is I don't know if they're going to have a coach on Sunday.
What do you mean?
I don't know if Romeo's going to be there.
Why?
He might die.
Why?
He might die.
Why might he die?
Not because he's old. I think he's got a good 90 years in him. I think he's got like 17 more years left to live.
Okay.
He can have 27 if he
wants.
I'll get
ticking, Mondo. I guess.
I'll give him 100. Well, the clock's ticking more than you think because he pissed someone off. We both thought it was a good decision to go for two on Sunday. There's someone who thought it was a bad decision, and he's mad as hell about it.
Don't say the name I think you're going to say.
And I'm worried for Romeo's life.
Please don't say the name I think you're going to say.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. A few takes from this weekend. First of all, if you can go up by 8 points with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, you kick the PAT. I don't care what these announcers agree with. That's BS.
So who's going to replace Romeo on Sunday as the coach?
Oh, my goodness. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Yeah, and OJ's wrong. Don't tell him I said that.
Dump that.
Don't tell him I said that.
I dumped that.
Okay. In fact, somebody might say OJ is dead wrong. See what I did there?
We're really doing this.
John Lopez said that.
We really doing this?
OJ Simpson is dead wrong on that. But nah, he's Romeo will be fine. Romeo can take care of himself.
Okay. I'm worried about him, but I hope he's going
to
be all right.
But look at let's go back to your ludicrous point here.
If you steal this game and then you got Jacksonville, you're looking at 3-5.
Okay.
3-5. The Colts started 1-5 2 years ago and got in the playoffs, and that was before the expansion.
Right.
The other team, most of the teams that we're looking at that are good,
right,
they've played the easy part of their schedule, not the hard part of their schedule.
I got you.
I'm just saying, if they steal this game, then things are going to look a lot different. 3-5, you can vibe with that.
All right, so here's the point. This is where your case falls flat. Again, I'm with you in spirit. I'd love it. I mean, who wouldn't want to see the Texans?
I'm not sitting here saying, so I can already see on the text line, shout out to the loopholes if you listen to our loophole, but you need to open your damn ears. I'm not saying the Texans are going to make the playoffs. I'm saying if they steal this game against Green Bay, because eventually they got to steal a game, you got Jacksonville after that, a 3-5 start, much bigger obstacles have been overcome. And, oh, by the way, there's an extra team in the playoffs this year.
There is.
So last year, 8-8 Pittsburgh would have gotten into the postseason.
Right.
I think a 7-9 team in the NFC would have gotten in. So it's not necessarily what's happened before because the playoffs are now expanded. And if you're going to get in, you're going to have to steal a game. When you lose games like they did to Tennessee, you're going to have to steal one. I said this. This isn't me saying it after the fact, John. I told you straight up when Romeo came in, if they can win 3 out of 4 games in the second quarter of the season, so the first four, the second four, third four, fourth four, if they can win 3 out of 4, then things can be interesting. So based on that previous notion, not some sort of reaction,
right?
That's why I'm saying if they steal this, again, put a gun to my head and ask me if the Texans are going to make the playoffs, I'm going to say hell no, and I'm probably going to live.
Right.
But that would be the first step. And with Jacksonville following the Packers, you're looking at 3-5 halfway through the season.
I mean, I get your point and the possibilities that are there, but here's the issue that I have with it. Again, I'm not saying I
wouldn't. Here's why you're wrong.
I wouldn't hope for it. Let me tell you why you're wrong. If they win and steal this game, that'll be 2 wins. These are the teams currently with 2 wins, not even counting, you know, what they're going to do this coming weekend. At least 2 wins, I should say. Denver. And this is just in the AFC.
Yep.
Denver.
Trash.
Vegas.
Good.
Kansas City.
Very good.
Indianapolis.
Okay.
Titans.
Awesome.
Browns.
Eh.
Ravens. Steelers.
Yikes.
Patriots.
Eh.
Dolphins.
Eh.
Bills. So you're saying that's 11 teams that already have two wins. The Texans are trying to get their at least two wins. They're trying to get their second win this coming Sunday. So you're saying that they're gonna pass enough of those 11 teams.
Did I say that? Now you're doing what I just got mad at the listeners for.
Could pass.
I'm saying that those teams that you just mentioned, it's possible that their best football is behind them. And the easiest part of their schedule is behind them.
Yeah.
The Texans, I think based on what we've seen the last 2 weeks, their best football is ahead of them. And the toughest part of their schedule is behind them.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And it all starts on Sunday. Again, if we come in here on Monday, do you think I'm going to sit here and try to sell you that? Hell no, I'm not going to try to sell you that.
Right. Well,
I'm just telling you, Sunday is an opportunity. And this is an opportunity that I've talked about for 2 weeks. This is the opportunity, and you're facing a Packers team that just got their ass kicked by Tampa Bay. I'm not sure that plays into your favor.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that an angry Aaron Rodgers is the best thing against this dog-butted defense. But I'm just saying, if they win this 3-5 the first half through the season, look out, man.
How's that defense looking?
Just like we thought it would.
How's that defense looking?
Just like we thought it would.
And shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. No qualification, no entry fee, no nothing. Does OJ want to take a stab at the Texans coaching job? OJ killed it with that take.
This is always where it goes.
OJ says the defense is getting sliced up.
Let's just relive the drama that happened this offseason leading up to Sunday.
Okay.
This is my favorite reaction you've ever had. I think we were all over this. This is when Nuke Hopkins got traded. It started out with me thinking they were getting a draft pick for David Johnson and the salary. Silly me. Then they said Hopkins was in the trade. I said, well, they're going to get a first-round pick, so maybe they can draft CeeDee Lamb and they can replace Nuke right away. Yeah. Silly me. Then the compensation came out, and then the OG John Lopez provided us with one of the most classic on-the-go reactions that you will ever hear in this city and on this station.
Are these all mock accounts? This is the trade that John McClain is reporting now. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick this year and a fourth-round pick next year. I'm sorry, man. This is just dumb. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second this year and a fourth next year. That's the trade. Somebody please tell me how you got better. That's the deal. I've seen a lot of weird stuff in this town over the last 31 years. I've seen a lot of general managers, stumble all over themselves. Hell, I've seen a general manager moon a wedding party at a hotel, and I haven't seen anybody show their ass like this. I mean, I stand by that.
So that was how it was going on here in Houston. Elsewhere in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was sitting at home by himself. He was probably just got beaten by Danica Patrick, or they were already broken up by then. I don't have the timeline of it. And this was his reaction. He was on Good Morning Football talking about what it was like when he saw Green Bay draft a quarterback instead of a receiver.
Yeah, I was watching the draft and thinking about which receiver might be there at that time. And there was a run on him there in the early 20s. And a kid from LSU, who I loved watching, went, I think, to Minnesota in the early 20s. I knew the kid from Clemson was still there and enjoyed watching him as well. I didn't know maybe as much about him. And the kid from Arizona State as well, I think they liked him. When they traded up, perked up a little bit. And then I got a text, because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent. He said he just texted quarterback. I was like, oh, wow, okay. Once I got that text, I went to the pantry. I poured myself, about four fingers. Like I said, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But as much as people want to make parallels to certain things, in 2004, the Packers were 10-6 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. We were 13-3, one game from the Super Bowl, won a playoff game at home. Obviously won our division, a little different circumstance, not to mention that Brett had talked about retiring for a few years before that. So, I've talked about playing in my 40s. So, when people start talking about the parallels to this and that, well, I fell to 24. They traded up and drafted Jordan.
It's worked out all right.
Oh, not for Jordan Love. It hasn't.
Well, They might need to trade him in a few years.
I love
What's
it.
Four fingers? Who says four fingers?
That's an old school thing. Four what? Fingers of whiskey. Three fingers of whiskey.
Just half two the fingers glass. Of whiskey. Can't just say half the glass. Is that like supposed to be cool?
It's cooler to say
like,
four
does
fingers.
He sit there and pour it and look at his four fingers.
Usually you give me three fingers. He took four. That's a little extra.
Okay. All right.
You've never said that to a bartender?
No.
Really?
No.
What's the matter with
Can you pour me four fingers?
Yeah.
No, I haven't said
four
that.
Four fingers of whatever. Fill in the blank.
I kind of feel like if I said that to some of the bartenders around town, I might get 911 called on me or something
you could.
Like that.
You could.
Good Lord. You seen some of the bartenders around here?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work for me if I say that. Four fingers, please. Landry Locker, John Ooh. Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. John McClain going to join us at 1040. The national media is starting to take notice of Jack Easterby. You'll hear what they have to say, and the OG has a call for action for Cal McNair. The OG tells a billionaire what to do next.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
National media types are starting to take notice of Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby, one half of Jack and Bill. Now the executive vice president of football operations for the Houston Texans. We've known about him for a while. A lot of people have their reservations about Jack Easterby. And now it seems like the national media types, most recently the Ryan Russillo podcast, are taking notice of Jack Easterby. Here is Ryan Russillo with Albert Breer talking about the man calling the shots right now on an interim basis for the Houston Texans.
Jack Easterby's with Houston. He's going to be the GM the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. But for those of us that knew his role in New England, he was the chaplain. So that sounds dismissive, and I don't mean to be dismissive, but give me more of an understanding, especially if you're Texans fans. Sure. Are like, wait, who's actually making the football decisions here? Because in Houston, everybody there already thinks he's just going to grab whatever Patriots people he can and put down there with Deshaun.
So his history is really interesting because remember the Javon Belcher tragedy. I think that was 2011 or 12 in Kansas City, right? Like, so that happens. And Scott Pioli was the GM at the time. And Easterby was the team chaplain. And my understanding was he was only there like a day or two a week, but he was instrumental in getting that organization past that, right? Like in getting individual people past that. And so after Scott got fired in Kansas City, they're going through the Aaron Hernandez thing in New England. And that was a major reason why Bill Belichick brought Easterby aboard in New England, because they sort of needed somebody to help them get through the Aaron Hernandez thing internally.
So it's very interesting that you can tell that Ryan Russillo is interested in this Jack Easterby thing. Here's Breer talking about how exactly Jack Easterby goes from being a team chaplain that shows up to a facility for 2 days a week to now being where he is with the Houston Texans. Here is the rise of power of Jack Easterby from national media types Ryan Russillo and Albert Breer.
And then over time, Easterby's role really grew to the point where he was sort of in charge of grading scouts and grading coaches. And, you know, the weirdest thing about him, Ryan, is that you talk to people who are worked with him in New England, and they all love him, but they were all sort of suspicious of him. Like, what's going on here? Like, why is he in charge of kind of assessing the job that I'm doing? But he almost became like a quality control guy for Bill, like quality control over the coaches and scouts and the football operation. And then he hired an agent, which raised a lot of eyebrows all the way up to ownership in New England. And all right, like, what is this guy aspiring to do? He was set to go to Indianapolis with Josh McDaniels in 2018 before that fell apart. And, you know, then he winds up in Houston a year later. They fire the GM, Brian Gain, that June. He tries to get Nick Caserio to come with him down there. Obviously, the Patriots blocked that. And so I guess he his job in New England, the thing that ties like what he was in New England and Houston together is he's sort of been in charge of like maintaining the organizational culture and kind of being a backstop in the types of people they're bringing into the building and assessing the people they already have in the building. And so that's sort of the role that they had him in. And now he's risen all the way up to EVP of football ops. A lot of personnel people in the league like wouldn't trust him at this point.
Wouldn't trust him at this point. And you're looking for a GM and that guy's still in the building. A guy who Albert Breer just flat out said a lot of people wouldn't trust him. You have a column on sportsradio610.com. talking about this very thing, Jack Easterby and Cal McNair overseeing this whole thing. Where exactly do you stand on this drama, this Jack Easterby situation?
Well, I will say this. Let me read the headline, because I think that's part of the nut of what's going on here. The headline is, "Do the Texans know Jack? And the faith in Easterby could be a risky proposition." And I think that's accurate in terms of how I feel about this right now, because everyone around Jack Easterby says the same thing, and then they pause and they say something else. They all say this: he's a really likable guy. He's energetic. He's influential. He's a great person to be around. And then generally those who know him best, they kind of pause and they say something along the lines of, but he likes power. He chases power. Or, as you heard there, I'm not so sure I trust him. So it's the epitome of a dichotomy. Great dude, energetic, inspirational, love to be around him. But I'm not exactly sure I trust him. I'm not exactly sure I can be down with his basically obsession with power. And so I think what it comes down to is Cal McNair has to decide, you know, is Jack Easterby one of the bad things that Bill O'Brien left behind? And I would encourage you to read the column I wrote on sportsradio610.com, because we know the things that Bill O'Brien did. Most all his decisions in the last year as the named general manager of the organization turned out bad. The Hopkins trade turned out bad. The contracts, that turned out bad. Almost $11 million in dead cap money that is still, you know, hovering over this team, that turned out bad. Some of the acquisitions on the defensive side of the ball, that turned out bad. We know all those things. But you know what another decision he made? He made Jack Easterby his right-hand man, his cohort, locked in, you know, arm in arm, making every decision. So if you know, Cal McNair has to decide, if every decision, every major decision that Bill O'Brien made left us in disarray, left us as a lesser team, how am I supposed to believe that the decision to bring in Jack Easterby as his cohort is not a bad decision? That you know what I'm saying? That's what Cal McNair has to decide.
What if it's a different role? What if it's a different role for Easterby and he's not involved in these decisions?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is my opinion. You know, this is just, you know, my read of the thing. If you know that everybody around him says he has a lust for power, could he do a lesser job without trying to angle himself, get into a relationship with someone who can help him? Because he's done that every step of the way. It started, you know, obviously he started at South Carolina as, I think, a character coach or something like that. Kind of, you know, cozies up to people of power who can help him. One of those, Scott Pioli. Where did Scott Pioli go? Kansas City. He went with Scott Pioli, who trusted him and who liked him, as we always say.
He was there 2 days a week.
Yeah. But he did get there.
Yeah.
And he started climbing. Then he kind of cozies up with the Patriots and gets, you know, in good graces with Bill Belichick. Then he gets, you know, he didn't really have a direct relationship with Bill O'Brien until he got here. But what he did have was he had direct and strong relationships with people who were in Bill O'Brien's orbit. James Lipford, who's still here. What is he, player personnel, something like that. Obviously Caserio, who Bill O'Brien knew. And then he tried to bring Caserio in. So I think the thing that Cal McNair has to decide is, all right, Bill O'Brien did bad, 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 and bad. And then he brought in Jack Easterby. How am I supposed to believe that that's good? And even if I do believe that he's in a lesser role, how am I supposed to believe that he's not going to cozy up and influence me into getting someone else, you know, into the general manager and head coaching role?
You can read the column on sportsradio610.com. Breer brought up another interesting point that I think it's awkward to bring up to some, but Albert Breer's known more about Jack Easterby than any of us for years. So if he's the one bringing this up and it's someone who is more familiar with him than anyone, then I think it is a factor. This was Albert Breer and Ryan Russillo talking about something else that maybe Jack Easterby, I don't want to say used, but something that helps Jack Easterby gain the trust of people in power.
And I'm not trying to be dismissive of Easterby, but if I'm a Texas fan, I'm scared. I'm like, what is going on here?
In New England, like when players or coaches, when they were going through tough situations personally, like Jack was there for them. And that's why he's able to kind of build trust with people, because he was able to do that. The religious angle, I don't think is insignificant here. And so in that way, it makes sense that Easterby was able to sidle up to Cal McNair, right? Like if you look at that, like, and you see that was sort of the way that Rick Smith had such a strong relationship with the McNairs. And so that part of it, I think, is just interesting. And, you know, like if you consider how strong the bond could be when it's.
I mean, that's a factor, because you want to associate with people who have your same ideals and beliefs, right? Whether it's, you know, whatever, business-wise, political-wise, religious-wise. So, yeah, I think that's a valid point.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing goes. Read the column, sportsradio610.com, the OG column for action with Jack Easterby. Let's talk to John McClain. He's going to join us for his weekly visit. What did he think about Romeo's decision to go for the win rather than the 8-point lead? We'll talk to him about that, as well as if we could see a trade happen in the coming weeks. Does Jack Easterby have free reign to deal players like J.J. Watt? We'll talk to McClain next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
I think I might have forced Tennessee to go for two rather than going for two. And now all you need is a touchdown and an extra point to tie the game to send it
well,
into overtime.
This was the debate during the break, during the two-minute warning, whether that would be the case.
I honestly didn't like either side of that.
That was Andre Ware and Mark Vandermeer talking about the decision Romeo made on Sunday. Right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's go to John McClain. Joins us every Tuesday, 10:40. John McClain, do you think Romeo made the right choice to go for two rather than take the 8-point lead in Nashville?
Absolutely. Why would anybody think this defense could have stopped them from going for a touchdown and a 2-point conversion? They just went after that for 76 and 82-yard touchdown drives. This defense is awful. You've got Deshaun Watson, who's playing great at the 2-yard line to win the game. Why would you not trust him over the defense that can't stop a clock or a nosebleed and is historically bad right now? I think that it was a no-brainer for Romeo. I agree 100%. I can't be a hypocrite. I've been saying win or lose with the ball in Watson's hands, and he did. I agree 100%.
And I agree with you. I wanted to ask you, though, I mean, the defense being so bad and Deshaun Watson playing so well, it's just highlighting, you know, what David Johnson is not doing. Could we see a change at running back?
David Johnson isn't going to get 111 yards against the Packers, but if he did, he'd be exactly where Carlos Hyde was this time last year. So Johnson is what he is. What I think they need to do is get him the ball outside more. Don't just have him continue pounding between the tackles. I'd have him running some more zone like they used to with Kubiak. One cut, go. Give him the option to go outside. I think he's being misused. And then on first down, their first down runs, 12 carries, 39 yards, 3.2-yard average. Johnson was 9 for 35, 3.9. That includes 11-yard run. Watson on first down, 14 of 18, 188 yards. That's a 13.4-yard average. So throw Watson more on first down, because this game, this team is going to revolve around their passing game. Watson's had three 300-yard games in a row. If he does it against the Packers, that'll be his all-time high, because you're going to have more games like we saw Sunday because the defense is so bad.
But let's suppose he does get 111 yards. I mean, I know it's a little bit of a stretch, a big stretch right now.
It's a big stretch.
It's a big stretch. But let's say he does get 111 yards, which running backs in the NFL can rush for 111 yards. Would you say that that means he's as good for this team as Carlos Hyde was?
I would say through this point, statistically, he's been just as good. Whoa. He's got three touchdowns. You think if he gets 111 yards – and he's exactly the same Carlos Hyde was, same touchdowns and everything. Right now, He's 74 yards behind, but he has the same number of touchdowns. I'm not saying he's good because Hyde had two 100-yard games after that. I'm just talking about the first part of the season.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, I mean, as you mentioned, you think they need to run him more outside. This is the NFL. You have to run between the tackles, and I just don't see anything close to what Carlos Hyde was.
Well, Hyde was all about between the tackles, and that's what how they ran him, but I'm guessing that if something doesn't work, you got to change it. And they're not going to put in Duke Johnson. He had two first down runs for -2 and -2. And they got to go outside because they're not good enough to block interior. They're getting killed inside. Tunsil's playing great. Titus Howard could quit committing penalties. He'd be playing well. Problem is the interior guys, when you go up against good defensive tackles like Jeffrey Simmons of Tennessee, it exacerbates how bad you are inside.
So you don't think that David Johnson has been just pretty awful, for lack of a better term?
Pretty awful based on what they had last year with Hyde? No, I don't think he's been pretty awful.
I mean,
I also just watched the game twice last night and looking how bad the blocking was inside, how many times him and Duke Johnson got hit in the backfield before they ever got started. So I'm not saying he's good, but I'm not saying he's awful. No, he's not awful.
Well, I'm just
he's got touchdowns. Three touchdowns is not awful.
Yeah, you could fart. You've given him the ball on the 1 yard line. You could fart a touchdown.
You could maybe. Not everybody scores from the one.
Well, here's the thing. You can't say Laremy Tunsil's playing great and Titus Howard's playing well and then say that David Johnson can't run between the tackles. I mean, those things.
Saying that. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But
that
just doesn't.
Between the tackles.
Those things don't, just
Tunsil's
don't go together.
Playing great and Howard is playing well. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
John, he has 350 yards going into week 7.
Oh, I know that. 87 carries, 350 yards, a 4.0 average per carry, and 3 touchdowns. That's what he's got.
Yeah.
Last year at this time, Carlos Hyde had 99 carries, 426 yards, 3 touchdowns. So he had 12 more carries and 76 more yards.
All right. I mean,
I'm not saying he's a good back. I'm just saying he's not been pretty awful.
Man.
Okay.
John McClain with us here on Sports Radio 610.
One guy I won't mention who it was said he'd rather have Alfred Blue, and I'm like,
yeah, that was me. I would rather have Alfred. I would rather have Alfred Blue in his. I would rather have Alfred Blue in his prime than EB. 100%. 100%. EB stands for the Enron back. You weren't with us yesterday. He's stealing more money in Houston than Enron.
Will change the markets.
David Johnson stealing that money. So. If the offensive line isn't blocking well, is that a schematic thing? Is that a they just need to be better thing? Because that was like the least of our concerns, it seemed like, John, heading into the year with all they'd invested. 3 firsts, couple seconds. Is this about the players? Is this about the scheme? When you watch these games multiple times, what are you seeing? Who's getting their ass kicked? What's going on with the offensive line?
Nick Martin's not playing as well as he did last year. Sunil Kelamete had to replace Max Sharping and has done, you know, I'm basing it on who they are and what they're capable of. He's playing about as well as he can play. Zach Fulton's the weak link every game. And last year, they didn't do a good job overall of run blocking. They ran the ball a lot, and Watson ran a lot. Watson's run fewer times for fewer yards at this point of any season in his career. And I think that I'd like to see him run the ball 5 times a game, whether it's out of desperation or design. And he had, I think he ran twice for, I can't remember how many, 25 yards, something like that. So I guess the run blocking is about where it was last year when it wasn't very good. But the pass protection is better. It drives me crazy when I see people see around the country say, oh, they've given up. Watson's been sacked 17 times. Offensive line's terrible. When they're obviously not watching the games to see how many sacks Watson has created, even though he's gotten away from some, too, like on that great touchdown pass he threw to Randall Cobb.
All right, so, you know, again, I'm not trying to harp on this, John. I'm just trying to get some clarity for our listeners here. So you got 2 tackles that are blocking well, and you just mentioned, Kelamete may not be good, and Nick Martin is not having the season that you wanted. But you're saying that
And then Zach Fulton is the weak link every game.
And Zach Fulton's the weak link every game. So they rank 31st in rushing, but you think that the tackles are playing well, are playing well, but there's no run blocking. Those things don't jibe to me. You've got two guys playing well.
Well, I also take into consideration pass protection, because when you're talking about an offensive line, you can't do it all on run blocking. Overall, they were not good run blocking last year, and overall, they're not good run blocking this year. But Tunsil's been great on pass protection. He's the best run blocker they have. And then Titus did a really good job when they had Clowney over there on him and keeping him away from Watson, except for one time when I saw it was his fault, but it wasn't a sack. So, yeah, I think the offensive line overall has been a disappointment run blocking, yes.
Okay.
And David Johnson's been a disappointment running the ball because they're pounding in between the tackles, and that's not what he does best.
Do you think at some point that maybe David Johnson's just not good? Because I kept hearing all these excuses in Arizona last year. Oh, it's schematic. There's a reason two guys are averaging more yards per carry than him. And now here it's, well, you got to use him outside. You got to run outside. At some point, can we just say – this guy is just a guy. Like, he's not, he's, it seems like there's I don't know if it's because he's a good guy or what, but it just seems like there's been excuses after excuses after excuses for David Johnson. He had a one-year coach. Okay, here comes Cliff Kingsbury. He's going to revive his career. These two guys are better than him. He comes to the Texans. Oh, it's a new offensive line. He's perfect. And I thought you said that he was good at running between the tackles for a while. And now we're sitting here saying that they need to run outside. It's the line. Could it just be that he's not that good?
Landry, tape the game, watch it in slow motion, stop action as soon as the ball is snapped, and look at the penetration by the defensive lineman on a lot of the plays. It's not just him. If a back can't get to the line of scrimmage, and this isn't the case, I'm not saying he's good. I'm saying he's a disappointment.
Right.
He's not very good. There were no excuses for him last year. I didn't hear any of those excuses. He didn't play well when he got a chance to play, and he was hurt and missed all of three games and two more with an injury. But watch it in slow motion.
Slow motion?
Twice last night. Stop action. Stop it. And then hit it. And watch each of those linemen get into the blockers and knock them backward or shoot the gaps, and how many times he gets hit in the backfield of the line of scrimmage. And he's not a breakaway back who all of a sudden is going to reverse his field and use his speed to turn the corner. That's not what Johnson is. I think the offensive line is not doing a good job of keeping people off of him.
Okay. I'm going to move on.
That's just my
– No, no, I know. No, no, I get it.
That's my opinion.
No, no, I get – John, you know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about you. If you were here, F the Rona, I'd kiss you on the mouth right now. You are my guy, John McClain. But I want to move on from David Johnson. Mike Devlin, how long am I going to – is Mike Devlin – is this the end of Mike Devlin? Because if it's not David Johnson and the offensive linemen aren't blocking – Mike Devlin was a Bill O'Brien guy. Are we going to at least get a new offensive line coach next season?
I think they're going to be a new staff next year. I think the new coach is going to come in, and he's going to evaluate these guys. They're not going to say you've got to keep this coach. He's going to look at tape, and if he's in the league now, he's looking tape already, and then he's going to fire everybody and start over. Now, I say everybody. New coaches always keep some coaches. But there's going to be a lot of changes, and I would imagine Mike Devlin would be among them.
Do you think that King Bill looks pretty silly with how this offense has looked, even without the ability to run the ball? The fact that I think you put out the stat 16 straight games without scoring 30, and then 30 in two straight games. Do you think King Bill, as he's sitting at home watching this, because you know he's watching, you think he feels a little bit foolish? And do you think that it's kind of shown that maybe O'Brien was part of the problem with the offense?
Well, last season, there wasn't an issue. They had back-to-back 30-point games, just like they have back-to-back 30-point games here. Last year, one was a 50 against Atlanta, and the other one was 31 at Kansas City, and then the offense didn't score 30 points again until they played Jacksonville. So Brian, I think, was part of the problem. Tim Kelly's part of the problem. I think the scheme and the coaching is part of the problem. And obviously, players are not playing the way they should. But what I've seen from Watson in these last two games, it looks like he's finally adjusted to his receivers, and they've adjusted to him. But the protection has been better. Three sacks, one of them was his fault, and he's had more time to throw from the pocket. And they're going to have to throw the ball a lot if they want to be in games like they did against Tennessee, because the defense can't stop anybody. Certainly not Aaron Rodgers, coming off the best game, worst game of his career, and highly motivated to rebound because he's getting so much criticism. So now both quarterbacks should light it up again like Watson and Tannehill did Sunday.
Now that Bill O'Brien is not looking over his shoulder, do you feel like Tim Kelly is calling a different game?
He finally started throwing more on first down, 14 of 18 for 188 yards. Overall, they averaged rushing on first down, 3.2 yards a carry. So they're basically wasting first down. And I know you can't throw the ball on every first down, mm-hmm. but I think sometimes you might make them think you're going to throw and run a draw play. If you think that gives on a draw, it gives Johnson a chance to go outside or inside instead of just doing that up the middle. But I think the offense is going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be fun. And I think Watson's going to be throwing a lot. And he better get rid of it in a hurry, because that means he's going to get hit more.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Do the Texans have a chance against the Green Bay Packers? And if they do pull off the upset, is the playoff hope still alive? Don't laugh yet, John. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.